interesting information.
I understand you did not receive the books we sent out, so did you have a chance to visit the website?
Oh, yeah. I was able to get on the website and went through and, you know, got some of my my own questions. And I actually had heard some information from before, which is kind of how... Well, no, actually, when I received the email for a request for you to be on the show, I went and I listened. But typically, no,
we begin at the beginning.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
New Corporate Body Magazine. Stay informed of the latest technologies, strategies, and organizations behind our food supply, our minds, body, and overall health. Bringing you unexposed global views, advanced products and services, and informative interviews. Travel to unheard-of places. NCB peels away fear by exploring the science of consciousness. We are about freedom. Subscribe to New Corporate Body Magazine. Explore your reality and expand your mind. Advertise your products and services with us. NCB is a printed publication and also available online. Check us out at www.newcorporatebody.com or call 949-249-3825. That's www.newcorporatebody.com. 949-249-3825. New Corporate Body Magazine and Sovereign Mind are a division of Timeline Publishing Incorporated. Welcome to Sovereign Mind Radio Program, and I'm your host, Sonia Barrett, broadcasting from Inner Light Radio and BBS Radio on Wednesday, October 1st, 2008, Matrix Time. Join me each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time as Sovereign Mind explores the nature of the game, the game players, and the strategies in place to hold you spellbound and distracted. Informed guests will bring insight to the silent side of corporations, spiritual concepts, science, and technology, and how they're all being used to influence your choices. We will explore concepts and ideas that stretch human imagination and potential. We want you to participate by calling in at 310-928-7733 or emailing your questions to innerlightradio@yahoo.com. Now, before I move on to giving you a little insight on my my guest today, who is Marshall, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing the middle name correctly, Marshall Van Summers, which I will have him correct it once he gets on air. I wanted to say that this week's show is a bit outside of the topics usually presented. I normally do not present UFO alien visitation type topics, as much of it is misinforming, disempowering, control, and fear-based. This gentleman's information is quite a bit different than much of what is out there, and I felt that his information was worth sharing. He is not promoting that anyone is coming to save us. Rather, he is bringing attention to history and to those who have intervened in human life in a self-serving as a self-serving source. I like to look at it as the cosmic corporate battle. And the project is Earth, no different than before. So, as I said, my guest today is Marshall Van Summers, author of The Allies of Humanity. And just a few words of a quote from him, a message from him. And it says, "For the past 25 years, I have been immersed in a religious experience. This has resulted in my receiving a vast body of writings about the nature of human spirituality and humanity's destiny within a larger panorama of intelligent life in the universe. These writings, encompassed in the teaching in the greater community way of knowledge, contain a theological framework that accounts for life and the presence of God in the greater community, the vast expanse of space and time that we know to be our universe." Again, we are listening to Sovereign Mind, live on Inner Light Radio and BBS Radio on Wednesday, October 1st. Marshall Van Summers, welcome to Sovereign Mind.
Good to be with you.
And could you pronounce your name for me?
So you, had it. It was very close. Marshall Van Summers.
Oh, Van Summers. Okay. All right. Gotcha. All right, Marshall. Good to have you with us. And yes, you are a first guest to bring about this topic. What I want to ask first is would you give us some information, some explanation? Who are the Allies of Humanity, and basically how did you receive this? How do you receive the information from them? And then, of course, I want to make a distinction though between your communication process and the standard concept of channeling, because it sounds like you're communicating with.
Yes, well, the Allies of Humanity represent a series of free races in our local universe who are not present in our world, but have sent us some information that we need to know regarding those races who are present in our world, and to educate us about the realities of life in the universe, realities that we're facing right now and will face increasingly in the future. The Allies of Humanity are serving as observers. They're not trying to plant themselves here or establish their presence in the world. They're really promoting human sovereignty and human wisdom and preparing us for a greater community of intelligent life in the universe, where the powers of persuasion are much greater than what we experience even here on Earth, and how we can maintain our clarity of mind and our self-determination within this very powerful environment.
Okay. All right. Now, let's see, to go a step further, how is the communication process? How does that take place? Is it telepathic? You know, and because I didn't get the sense that it was the standard channeling that we hear about, but it was more of a true communication.
Well, this was sent to me telepathically, but it was sent in a very interesting way, and it was sent as if I was listening to voices that were billions of miles away. I mean, it was not something that was in my presence.
Mm-hmm.
It was something that was far away, and these voices were speaking in a very kind of neutral tone. There was no real sense of personality, but On the other hand, they weren't mechanical either. I mean, there was somebody really there, and they were communicating this message, asking me to receive this message for the benefit of humanity. And I was prepared for this contact, which began in 1997, when I finished the book Greater Community Spirituality. And in that book, there's a whole chapter that addresses the reality that there are free races in our universe who have a high regard for humanity because we still have the potential for self-knowledge. And apparently most highly technological races in our local universe have lost this connection to self-knowledge and have become entirely secular and technological in their outlook. So apparently humanity, though we are still primitive in many ways and still have many problems here on Earth, still have the possibility for self-knowledge, and I think that is what makes us important to other races in the universe who value that themselves.
Okay. Now, I know one of the things, maybe I'm jumping ahead, is the fact that you talk about religion as being one of the venues, one of the avenues through which much of the, controlling process has taken place.
Yes, well, that's right. And we know that religious institutions have certainly tried to pacify people and to persuade people through the promises of, you know, wealth and salvation and also through coercion. So we know that all institutions use various kinds of influences to garner our devotion. But in the greater community, what is happening is the humanity, we're still very superstitious about many things. We're very superstitious about our self-importance in the universe. We're superstitious about what life in the universe must be like. For example, many people think that any technologically advanced society would be morally and ethically advanced as well. And we know from our experience here on Earth that technology does not really uplift the moral and ethical standards of people. So there's a lot of expectation. Many people are hoping that some other races from the universe will come and save us and give us advanced technology and free energy and things like that. And I'm constantly asked these kinds of questions. And I think what we really have to know is that humanity is very vulnerable right now. We really don't know anything about life in the universe. We've never had to adapt to the presence of other intelligent races who have technology. And human freedom is very much being challenged by the presence of those intervening forces in the world today. Mm-hmm. And that is what the Allies of Humanity reveal to us, I think, in the clearest and most important terms.
Yep.
I hope I answered your question.
At first I wasn't sure if you were there. It just went really quiet. Yes, but I think one of the things that, of course, there's more. I mean, from what I read, I mean, there's more to the process by which they do intervene through religion and through spirituality. And I think one of the things, what were some of the things that were said was the, what was it? There was the control factor because of the manner in which humanity desires to learn and to know spiritually, and I can't find that quote right now. I'll have to look for it. Go ahead.
Well, I think your question is very important because the Allies of Humanity briefings talk about a pacification program.
Yes.
That's part of the intervention's activities here, and religion is one of the avenues in which this pacification program is being used. And what it does is it renders us to be overly trusting and overly hopeful that contact with other intelligent races in the universe will somehow save us or redeem us, save us from ourselves. And so we're disarmed, you might say, into thinking or being led to believe that we shouldn't resist any of these foreign presences, even though they don't reveal to us their true intentions. And to trust and believe that they know better than we what would benefit the human family. And so this pacification program really speaks to people's fear. It speaks to people's sense of inadequacy and hopelessness. It's really a manipulation of our fear that we will not know what to do in the future, our sense of powerlessness in the world, our frustration with human leadership, which is very high at this moment, I know, from the whole financial chaos that's happening out around the world. But pacification is to make us not resist. And whereas our natural sense is to be guarded about any intrusion into our world from any race for any purpose, and that is a natural response, just like you would have a natural response not to let someone into your house unless you knew who they were and what their intentions were and knew something about them. But we're facing an intervention that is happening without human approval or awareness, an intervention that hides its intentions and its activities from us, an intervention that's extremely deceptive and that relies entirely upon persuasion and not the use of force to be able to establish itself here as a powerful force within our world and an influential force. So using religious aspirations is very important. And in the last 50 years, there has entered into the general mainstream, the mass consciousness, if you will, ideas such as whatever happens to you is the right thing to happen, trust anything that happens, you're in the right place at the right time, don't resist. Now, these were never present in religious thought before. But since the end of World War II, these kinds of prevalent ideas have entered into the mass consciousness and have affected many people. And they're extremely disarming. Because clearly, we know from our own experience and our own native wisdom that when you go out in the world, you have to be careful and you have to be cautious and you have to be discerning. So, it is disarming our native abilities, our natural God-given abilities to be careful, to be discerning, to be watchful, and these powers of persuasion are affecting the minds and hearts of many people, and I encounter this constantly, that people seem to be unable to consider that we may have to resist a foreign presence into our world, which, if you look at history and the history of interventions for native peoples by foreign forces, the interventions are always carried out for self-interest, and the native peoples, if they acquiesce to these forces, are always subjugated and often destroyed. So I think we really have a conflict between what we want to have and what we most deeply know within ourselves. And that's a very fundamental conflict.
Right. And there's a quote in reference to all of that where you said they're seeking uniformity and conformity. The visitors will rely on those institutions, and those values that they feel are the most stable and practical for their use. They are not interested in your ideas, and they are not interested in your values, except insofar as these things might further their agenda. Do not deceive yourself in thinking that they are drawn to your spirituality because they lack such things themselves. This would be a foolish and perhaps fatal conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pulling together basically everything that you've said. Now, what I want to ask is to get more specifics, as I've seen more specifics in your writing, what are these supposed then these extraterrestrials visiting, or what is their purpose as far as the resources then, a resource of humanity or resources then of the planet? What is the overall objective?
Yes. Well, they're clearly here for resources, and we live on a planet of immense biological wealth and diversity. A planet such as ours are actually very rare in a universe of barren worlds. And advanced technological societies, according to the Allies briefings, have outstripped their world's natural resources, as we are actually doing ourselves right here on Earth at present time, and must search for resources now, not only to support their technology, but also to support the basic functions of life, the production of food, the creation of medicines, and things like that. And so we are living on this incredibly valuable planet that we're quickly degrading. We don't realize how important it is, and it's significant to others who are aware of its presence. And so we're very conflicted stewards of this world. We're not united within ourselves. We're in competition with each other. And this makes us very vulnerable to the kind of intervention that is occurring in the world today. So biological resources are extremely important to a highly technological societies that have outstripped their own world's natural resources for the production of food, the creation of medicines, for bioengineering. All these things become very valuable within a greater community of intelligent life. And we are, as I said before, we're living on a planet that possesses immense wealth in this regard.
So it sounds like the survival concept all over again, in terms of whatever is being done is based on their own survival.
Exactly. We tend to think that technology frees people from the basic needs of life, but in fact technology makes those basic needs more complicated to fulfill. In fact, we know that technology is providing us food from around the world, but that requires a very complex set of trade networks. And in the universe around us, we live in, actually, interestingly, in a very well-inhabited part of the universe, these trade networks have been established to provide resources to many, many different worlds. And these worlds, again, have lost their own self-sufficiency. And when that happens, then you become reliant upon other sources of power to provide what you need. Humanity still has self-sufficiency, but we're in the process of destroying that, which is really a problem in terms of our future and the possibilities that we could be a sovereign race within the universe. But the quest for resources is going on everywhere. There's no technology that really frees you from that. And that is a very important understanding.
So when you say the trade network in our universe, could you elaborate on that a little bit more? Because it sounds to me, what you're saying, that there is a network in place, that there's a lot more trafficking or travels going on in our universe that we're unaware of. And we're probably, are we the most, kindergarten group, one of the more, preschool groups then that are unaware of all of the activity that's really going on in our universe?
Well, we're still stuck here on our planet, and though we've made some brief ventures into space, we really know nothing about the realities of life beyond our solar system, and only very little about life, the possibilities for life within our solar system. The Allies of Humanity briefings really give us, I think, for the first time, a window into the realities of intelligent life. And it gives it in a very pragmatic fashion. I mean, there's no sensationalism here. It just really clarifies, the kind of reality we're going to have to deal with in terms of our engagement with other forms of intelligent life, and particularly those forms of intelligent life who are intervening in the world today, interfering in human affairs. We live in a part of the galaxy that's well inhabited, where there are many older societies that have established very stable networks of trade. War and conflict is suppressed in this part of the universe. And so to gain influence in a world such as ours, there cannot be the use of force. It must be used through other means, through the powers of persuasion. And this is just part of the reality in the environment in which we exist, in which our world exists. The powerful networks of trade exert a lot of restrictions on the nations that participate within them. And that is why free societies in our local universe tend to stay out of these networks. It's like a galactic, global financial network. And we know that when nations, particularly weaker nations in our own world, become a part of a global financial network, they lose a lot of power and sovereignty to that network. So we're really dealing with the realities of life that we're familiar with, but now on a much, much greater scale.
Yeah, that's really so important to really recognize that, because what's going on out there, I mean, what's going on here, it really ends up being a result of what's going on out there. There, and I think according to some of the things that you've written, our government and their connection with some of these forces, what we deal with now is a result also of some of those connections, is what it seems like, some of those agreements.
Well, we don't really know what our government or other governments have agreed to or not agreed to, and that is kept in the deepest vaults of secrecy and will probably never be revealed to the public, at least not in its entirety. But what is clear to me is that our government is a very big place. It has many different echelons of power in it. Most people who work in the government have no idea what is going on in the inner circles. And there are clearly forces within our government who support intervention, and there are forces who resist it. So it's very hard to say the government is doing one thing or another. It seems to be kind of schizophrenic. And on one hand, it keeps denying that any of this is happening, and yet through the media, through programs like the History Channel, we see a lot of programs about UFOs which are not being debunked. They're presenting this now as a reality, whereas only a few years ago they would present it in a kind of tongue-in-cheek fashion, and then they would have some, you know, Harvard professor just discount the whole thing as an illusion. But what we're seeing now through the media is a very serious treatment of the extraterrestrial reality, this whole phenomenon. So I think the atmosphere and the climate is changing, as if the government is preparing us for the reality that we are dealing with visitation. And I've seen this gradual shift over the years in terms of the whole media treatment of this subject.
Well, I think, again, as you said, you know, everything is so dualistic. And also the fact that null aspects, not all angles are of the system, of any system, is aware of everything that's going on. So, yeah, you're going to have some that have no clue, and it has to be that way, though. I would say in order for anything to play out, a well-designed plan, you have to have some that have absolutely no clue to the depth of what's going on, and then you have those that have, you know, more of a degree of what's going on in order to you know, make the public jump or do whatever it is they need to have the public do. So, and what I wanted to ask you is this: now, we've known of the fact that in earlier times there were extraterrestrials that have come to Earth, and we've seen that, you know, throughout history, as you're saying, and, you know, in cave walls and in hieroglyphs and all of these things, and have affected the human race. So, is this? Are we now in another level of this, or is this something that has remained constant, but maybe they're peaking it, you know, it's being kicked into a higher degree right now?
Well, the briefings reveal that the Earth has been visited for centuries, and particularly since the advent of man in this world, it's been visited. And there's, of course, as you mentioned, records of this in many native traditions and in many historical documents and so forth. But the briefings emphasize that what we're dealing with now is very different. We're dealing with intruding forces who are here to take advantage of an emerging race called humanity. And we have created a international and global network of communications and trade that other races from the universe can use. Whereas 100 years ago, none of that infrastructure was there. We've actually built an infrastructure that other races recognized that they could benefit from and interconnect with. So we've kind of hit a evolutionary threshold where we really have to grow up. And I'm reflecting on your comment about as if we're school children in the universe, and I think we're more like adolescents. I think we're beginning to feel our power. We're beginning to sense that we have greater potential, but we're still very reckless and irresponsible and don't quite know where to go with our lives. So we're probably in an adolescent phase in preparing for a more mature environment in the universe. And it's like a young girl going into the big city, not really knowing what she has to be guarded against and what she must know to not be preyed upon or taken advantage of. And I think we're in a very vulnerable position in terms of our overall and collective awareness in that regard.
Okay. I have a question that just came in from Segment Ali in Philly. Hi, Sonia. Can your guests talk about whether or not the Earth is a seeded planet? Can he talk about life on Sirius or Sirius B as revealed by the Dogon people in Mali, West Africa?
First of all, I cannot comment on that particular set of planets or those particular influences. But regarding the question of seeding, the briefings and my other writings in the book Greater Community Spirituality, for example, talk about how there was an upgrade in humanity from the Neanderthal man to the advent of modern man, a kind of evolutionary leap that happened within a relatively short period of time, and of course changed, you know, the human evolution in a very dramatic way. But what we're dealing with here is there's a danger in talking about being seeded, and that's to think that the extraterrestrials are our progenitors or our parents, or that we have a relationship and somehow they have, you know, inherent claim to the Earth. And I think the writings of Zachariah Sitchin, which I'm very frequently asked about, many people assume based upon those writings that there is kind of an overseer or overlord to the world. And I think that's really incorrect, and that's an idea that's being generated by the intervention. And that's part of the pacification program. I mean, you're not going to resist someone if you think they're your relatives or if you believe that, you know, they're your shepherds in life. And so there's a lot of clever manifestations of this intervention that are influencing people in dramatic ways. And I think it's a form of manipulation that's more clever and more effective than even the kinds of manipulation that governments and corporations are constantly trying to exert upon people everywhere.
And of course, I know we've talked about religion several times, but I know that you said that, you know, there are four areas of focus for the visitors and people in position of power, government, heads of religious institutions. And just to clarify how they possibly create that influence then? I mean, do we know how that influence is brought about, you know, in terms of interjecting what it is that they want to interject through those groups?
Well, let me read to you a short passage from the briefings themselves. There are two sets of briefings. The first set of briefings, and I should mention to your readers, is available. The entire book is free online at alliesofhumanity.org. People can go and read the whole set of briefings and download it and share it with their friends, because I wanted to make the briefings available to people everywhere. But I'd like to read a short passage. This is from the briefing called A Great Warning. Attempts will be made to persuade the leaders of the strongest nations to become receptive to the presence of the visitors and to receive gifts and inducements for cooperation with the promise of mutual benefit and even the promise of world dominion to some. There will be those in the corridors of power in the world who will respond to these inducements. Yet these leaders are deceived, for they will not be given the keys to this realm. They will simply be the arbiters in the transition of power.
Makes sense to me. Makes sense to me.
And we can see how leaders of local nations, small nations, or groups or tribes, you know, can be bought off by larger powers. I mean, the conquistador of today carries a cell phone and a laptop computer. Because we have grown in sophistication enough to know that the most effective way of gaining control or sovereignty over someone else is by making them dependent upon you.
Absolutely.
Not by crushing them or destroying their infrastructure or, you know, laying waste to their land. No, we want to preserve all that. And so we're seeing, even in the evolution of human influence within our own world, a transition into mind control as a more powerful form of domination than physical conquest. And this is taken to a whole other level when we consider the interactions of intelligent life in the universe, where races that are very different from each other have to find ways to cast influence upon each other and discern each other's intentions.
Interesting stuff, interesting stuff. Before I go on to, I wanted to go over, what is it, become aware of the mental environment. There's another question I wanted to ask you. What was my question? Oh, I hate when that slips my mind. All right, in the meantime, I'm going to go back to become aware of the mental environment, and I just want to read a small part of this that was on your site. The mental environment is the environment of thought and influence in which we all live. Its effect upon our thinking, emotions, and actions is even greater than the effect of the physical environment. The mental environment is now being directly affected and influenced by the intervention. It is also being affected by government and commercial interests all around us. Becoming aware of the mental environment is crucial to maintaining your own freedom to think freely and clearly. The first step that you can take is to consciously choose who and what is influencing your thinking and decisions through the input that you receive from the outside. This includes media, books, persuasive friends, family, and authority figures. Set your own guidelines and learn how to clearly determine with discernment and objectivity what other people and even the culture at large are telling you. Each of us must learn to consciously discern these influences in order to protect and uplift the mental environment in which we live. And I know you were talking about that a little bit, but I would definitely like for you to maybe elaborate a little bit more on what you were mentioning to me before the show started.
Well, the mental environment is something we all experience every day. Every time you go into a store, it has a unique feeling to it. Every time you go into someone's office or someone's home, it has a unique feeling. Maybe it feels good, maybe it doesn't feel good. Maybe it feels conflicted, maybe it feels harmonious. We experience this constantly, the difference in the mental environment, the psychic space, if you will, of any environment that we deal with. And when we have conversation with someone, we create a little mental environment with them. Even if we're sitting in a restaurant with them, we're still within the sphere of our being together, we're creating a mental environment. So the mental environment is extremely powerful, and that is why, when you look out in the world, why are people making the same assumptions, thinking the same thoughts, talking about the same things? I mean, you know, we're by nature very free-thinking individuals, but we don't demonstrate that in our behavior with each other. And most of our thoughts that we think are our thoughts are really just thoughts that have either been taught to us or we have just passively absorbed from the environment around us. And in that sense, we're very much, you know, creatures that are under tremendous forces of persuasion in the mental environment. One of the main themes of my writings in books such as Steps to Knowledge and Greater Community Spirituality is the teaching that we really have two minds within us. We have a social mind, which is like this mind at the surface, which has been conditioned and influenced by our upbringing and our families and cultures and in some cases religion itself. But we also have a deeper spiritual mind that is not influenced by the world, that remains as a deeper current in our lives. And this deeper mind is immensely wise. It does not debate and speculate and criticize and compare and contrast the way that our social mind does. It's a very quiet mind, a deep mind, a very penetrating mind. And in my writings, I call this knowledge because it's related to our ability to have profound experiences of direct knowing that defy logic and circumstances and time and space. We have these incredible insights that occur perhaps infrequently, but they're all coming from a deeper mind within us. And this is the only part of us, this deeper mind, that is not influenced by the mental environment. And your website, I was intrigued because you used the word sovereign mind, and I think of knowledge as really the sovereign mind because it's the mind that God created to guide us, to protect us, and to lead us to living a greater and more, you know, creative and contributing life in the world. And it's the antidote to evil. It's the antidote to all the forces around us and even within us that would betray our self-trust, betray our self-honesty. And this is an important message in the Allies of Humanity briefings as to what will give humanity the strength and the ability to see beyond deception and to resist and to drive off this and future interventions. Because the power of knowledge is the most powerful force in the universe.
Absolutely. Now, you, there's a declaration of human sovereignty. Would you talk about that a little bit?
The Declaration of Human Sovereignty is a declaration that was based upon the Declaration of Independence, the United States Declaration. It was crafted by a number of people who were very inspired by reading the Allies briefings, and with the understanding that humanity needs to establish its own rules of engagement regarding who can come into our world and under what circumstances. Right now, we're the unwitting recipients of whatever anyone wants to do with us or to us regarding visitation to our world. And there's some very dangerous things that are happening in our world as a result of this. So the Declaration is really a proclamation to all powers in the universe who are aware of us, saying, we are a free and self-determined people. We do not allow unauthorized visitation. We will resist it. We have, pardon the expression, inalienable rights that we will emphasize, and that we make it known to all peoples, all free peoples in the universe, that we will only accept visitation under our own terms instead of being the victims of whatever might happen to us. And so the Declaration is, I think, a very powerful document, and it's a beginning step in humanity beginning to assert its will and its intentions as a free people in the universe. And we must communicate this. Otherwise, it will appear to other races that we are allowing intervention, that we accept intervention, and that we are not resisting intervention. And I think that would really not serve us, because we have to establish ourselves as a race to be reckoned with, a race that deserves respect and consideration. And, you know, if you're powerless in life, people don't respect you.
Absolutely.
And if we're powerless as a people in a universe full of intelligent life, no one will respect us or our rights.
Right.
And so this is a declaration of our rights and our intentions. And I think, and it's available for people to view at humansovereignty.org. The entire document is there, and please read it and share it with other people. It's very inspiring to read.
And Marshall, what I find interesting is the fact that that whole, you know, the aliens are coming or UFO, we're making contact, is spread far and wide, mainly through the New Age movement. There are tons of people waiting for a contact that is not going to be what they think it is going to be. And I see that because I still get emails from some people who are dealing with that. And we talked about the influence that they have, but you said, I was going to ask you, what sort of influence do they have on new forms of spirituality? And as has been indicated, this is in the writings, also on new ideas and new expressions of human divinity and human nature that are in your world at this time. And I figure there has to be a way of dissemination, that they're really disseminating that kind of influence, because I see a big, huge New Age movement in terms of an embrace for this contact that they think is expect.
Yes, well, you know, you're really hitting the nail on the head here, and I'm really glad, because many of the shows that I'm on, I mean, the hosts have no idea what's happening.
So, I have an idea. That's the reason why I wanted you on.
Well, that's great. You know, I've spoken at symposia dealing with this whole phenomenon, and it's shocking to me that while people are angry at the government for hiding what it knows, and no one is questioning the extraterrestrial cover-up, the extraterrestrial presence. It's a given that it's happening. People are embracing it. They want it. And, you know, I was thinking very recently that when you enter a relationship and you want something from the other person, you lose all your objectivity.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
because you have a secret motive. You want
Absolutely.
That person to do something for you or give you something. You lose your objectivity, you lose your discernment, and you become very susceptible to manipulation and persuasion. And many people are looking to the universe to be rescued by some foreign race who they think will come down here and give us everything that we can't seem to provide for ourselves. And that kind of intention is so blind that it's just leading people into a trap, basically. And the intervention is supporting this trap. It's cultivating this notion that our spirituality is all about accepting whatever happens to us, that it's all for our learning or our healing. And these are, I know this sounds ridiculous, but these are very common ideas in the minds of increasing numbers of people. And so they look at the intervention as sort of a divine blessing, as a destined event, and they're excited about it. They want it to happen. They don't want anyone to come along and tell them that it's dangerous or that it's, you know, should be resisted. And so when I've spoken at symposia, I'm probably the only person, maybe one of the few people in the world today who is really challenging the intervention. And through the briefings, because I have the gift of this message for humanity, that certainly exceeds my understanding, you know, we can for the first time begin to put this puzzle together. This is not a mystery. This is just an event of nature. This is one set of races trying to gain control of another. And certainly life has taught us a lot about that. But we're not listening to what knowledge within us is telling us. We're not listening to the lessons of nature. We're not being intelligent. And so this pacification program is very effective. I mean, even today, you know, people look to the government. They want the government to rescue them. They want the government to come in and clear everything
save
up.
Them.
And so
mm-hmm.
save them. You know, I want to be saved. Well, if you want to be saved, you're going to be powerless. Now,
mm-hmm.
if your home has been destroyed by a hurricane or some other natural disaster, certainly, you know, you need assistance, and assistance should be provided. But I think there's a kind of welfare mentality out there that
mm-hmm.
people want or expect to be saved and taken care of by powers that they don't even understand, whether it be human powers or powers from beyond the earth. And so I think there's a real problem in the way that we're approaching change and the issue of personal power and responsibility. And the Allies briefings are all about human sovereignty, power, and responsibility. So you must become strong. You must not allow intervention. No one should be intervening in your world at this time. Humanity is not ready for contact. It is not united enough. It does not have the collective strength. It doesn't have the collective wisdom to deal with the complexities of life in the universe.
Mm.
So we have to come back to the source of our own power, which is this power and presence of knowledge, this mind that cannot be corrupted, this mind that has a deeper conscience, that is ethical. And whether you're a religious person or not, you know, whether you attend a church or not, whether you adhere to a religion or not, you have this greater spiritual intelligence within you. And
mm-hmm.
in my view, I don't think God cares whether you're a part of a religion or not, but God does care whether you listen and follow the intelligence, this great endowment that God has placed within all of us. Because if
mm-hmm.
we don't use that, you know, if you don't take responsibility for your life, other people will.
Oh, that's evident.
If you don't set a direction in your life, other people will. And that's just, that's life. I mean, that's the reality of life.
That's just the way it is. And we're short on time, but with everything that you've said, Marshall, I'm so glad that you're on the show. But I also want to remind people that what we're talking about with the universe, you have to start looking at the universe just as you do. You live in the United States and then there are many other countries, or you live in another country and then there are many other countries. It's no different. It's really no different. We've just learned how to cross the borders to get to different places and take a plane and cross over the water or boat or whatever. And we're learning now how to deal with the fact that there are other beings or races in the universe. And before we run out of time, I want to make a comment here. This is from Dr. J. Came in, and he said, remember the group Heaven's Gate that tried to meet the ETs by committing mass suicide and catching a ride on the comet Hale-Bopp. That's so very true. That's just one of it. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think this intervention it calls upon our strength, but it also reveals our weaknesses. And, you know, we're not adapted. We're not used to having to deal with other races of beings coming to our world. So I think we have to begin to use our native wisdom, what nature and history has taught us about intervention, and we need to call upon this deeper innate sense of what is true and what is right within us. It lives within us. It really represents our salvation, because if you follow that, then you begin to make choices in life that strengthen your life, that give you clarity, that open doors of opportunity. You see the ways out of predicaments that otherwise seemed incomprehensible because you have this guiding power. And the Allies briefings talk about this power as humanity's greatest strength. You know, we're not going to match another race's technology, but we certainly have the power to resist their seductions and to make all their efforts impotent here by using our native intelligence in this way.
All right. Now we're pretty much out of time, but could you give out your information again, Marshall, where we can view your information?
Yes. The Allies of Humanity briefings can be visited on alliesofhumanity.org, and the first set of briefings, as I mentioned before, is up. It's free online. I want everyone to read it. And it's very easy to read. It's not long. It's really powerful. And my other books are on newmessage.org, and there you can read the entire book, Steps to Knowledge, the book of preparation for the greater community, and it's the book about connecting with this deeper power within yourself. That is up in its entirely online. And major sections of my other books are at newmessage.org. And Human Sovereignty, the Declaration, can be read at humansovereignty.org.
Fantastic. And Marshall, I'm definitely going to have you back because there's more to discuss. So thank you for joining me. Just want to make a note to everyone. I will be doing a book signing and mini lecture tomorrow, Thursday, at Cafe Muse on Santa Monica Boulevard in Los Angeles from 6:30 to 8:30. For more information, you can contact me or look on the website at www.spiritinform.com. Or you can also go to www.thecosmicwomb.com. And that's it. Thank you again, Marshall, and thank you to our listeners. You can also email me at Sonia, S-O-N-I-A-B-A-R-R, at yahoo.com. Visit the radio website, www.sovereignmindradio.com, and my other website with the book and all of the other information, www.spiritinform.com. Join me next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, and remember that the power to be a sovereign mind, a free mind, lies within you. Join me.
Your name is that you want to be understanding. See, is ego going away? Your name is your brother. You say that you're tired of me understanding. Children are dying every day.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be
fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.